Production. Recorded live.
Shorty here. Do we have anyone on yet? Marvin, Andrew, Tess, 1, 2, 3, Tess. Marvin. Can you hear me? Hello? Marvin.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, just had to check in. We got a couple of minutes, and then I want you to turn the recorder on, and then I'll play this little video excerpt, and then we'll get on with today's program.
Okay. We got
2 minutes.
You on. We got Charles on here. We got Donaldson and me.
Yeah. Oh, you're back. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there'll be other people. I guess go ahead and turn the recorder on, and I'll get ready to play back as. Let me know.
It should be on.
Okay. All right, here we go.
Down.
Oh, I did. Now, shit, I better get rid of one. Yeah, yeah. That's,
yeah.
Holy
cow. Which one is the aspect of your life that dictates the limits of your freedom?
You can...
Government and law enforcement, insurance and pharmaceutical companies, taxes, building permits, driver's licenses, and more. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of stipulations, regulations, and boundaries on our freedom. And out of the ones that were just mentioned, how many have you researched to find out whether they apply to you or not? Let's look at the forms of law that we currently acquiesce to. A common misconception among people is that any rule or regulation that governs them falls under one category, law. But there are many other forms of law that apply to
you.
The Constitution is nothing more than a list of rights that we already have. We are born with inalienable rights endowed to us by our Creator. They are not given to us, and they cannot be given away. The most a person can do with a right is choose whether to exercise it or not. Maritime admiralty law is what's known as the law of the water. It is superseded by civil law and only applies to those who willingly contract themselves into it. The definition of admiralty law is a body of private international law governing the relationships between private entities which operate vessels on the oceans. Let's look at how and why a form of law that is fashioned to govern corporations, businesses, and vessels has imposed its rule over natural human beings. This is all done through a form of word magic. A simple perversion of language has made it possible to convince people around the world that these alternative laws apply to them. One of the predominant beliefs in modern culture is that licenses, permits, registrations, and other forms of documentation Sadly, these beliefs are based on little to no investigation whatsoever and are false. This belief structure is perpetuated by maritime admiralty law. This form of law was originally created to govern ships docking in foreign nations for the import or export of products and resources. It deals with banking and merchant affairs, not civil affairs. When a product is taken off of a ship and brought into a foreign land, that nation takes custody of the resource and accounts for it with a certificate. That certificate marks the birth date of that product in the custody of the respective nation. Think of why it is supposedly required to have a certificate of live birth in the first place. The Barron's Dictionary of Banking Terms defines a certificate as a paper establishing an ownership claim. So right there, we notice that everyone with a birth certificate is defined as being owned. People are used as collateral with other nations because the U.S. is bankrupt. The United States declared bankruptcy on March 9th of 1933. At this point, the U.S. began taking out loans from a private, non-government affiliated corporation called the Federal Reserve. With no money to pay back the loans, the United States began using the citizens as collateral. All birth and marriage certificates are literally warehouse receipts. Just look at the similarities of warehouse receipts and birth certificates. Both document the date of issue, a serial number, registration number or receipt number, a description of the product, and an authorized informant to notify the appropriate government agency. With all of this information being readily available, the majority of people are unaware of their involvement with maritime admiralty law. This is possible through the manipulation of language. This admiralty law changed the meaning of the word person from a natural living person to a corporation. Driver's licenses, vehicle registration, auto insurance forms, building permits, gun permits, work permits, tax filing documents, birth and death certificates, traffic citations, and many other forms of documentation that were once believed to be absolutely necessary only applied to persons or corporations. Upon signing such a legal document, you are indirectly waiving your rights under the Constitution and lowering your status to that of a corporation that is created with the same exact name as you. The only way to reconcile your true name from the name of the corporation is to take notice that the corporation has its name in all capital letters. This is known as capitis diminutio maximum. You may take notice that your driver's license, birth certificate, social security card, insurance cards, and more use all capital letters to legally represent the corporation with your name, not you. The corporation is known as an artificial person, whereas you, the human being, are known as a natural person. This deception goes even deeper when it comes to the courts that we attend. When showing up to court, you will notice that there are seats for witnesses behind a wooden fence or barrier. The defendant must cross through the entrance to the other side of the barrier where the plaintiff and judge sit. This act symbolizes the boarding of a ship. At this time, business can be conducted in maritime admiralty law. The judge, acting as captain or banker, is responsible for settling the balance between the two sides. This is why there is always a monetary value involved in any court case. The captain is simply dealing with banking and merchant disputes. Once the balance is paid, the case is closed. To turn the court case away from admiralty law where your rights are not protected, you must avoid agreeing to represent the artificial person. This is done by stating that you are the natural person. You don't have a first or last name because those imply corporate title. In a court case, you may state that the court takes judicial notice of your honor's oath of office. Every judge must take an oath of office to practice law, yet you must make it clear to the court and the jury that the judge is acting as judge and not banker. Remember that you are a natural human being of the earth. You are not governed by anything but your own consciousness. Laws are created within a society. The society that created the laws we see being enforced today is called the Law Society. Yet the most beautiful part of this entire deception is the fact that we are not part of the law society, so their laws do not apply to us. Judges, lawyers, law enforcement officers, they're all part of a society. Within that society, they've created their own language that's deceptively similar to English. The heavy little things called statutes, acts, and regulations that seem like laws, they really only apply to those within their society. So that basically means all the traffic violations, minimum age requirements, and everything except for damage to another person or their property doesn't really apply to the natural person. Laws only apply to those within the law society. The game being played is an illusion. You can simply choose to open your eyes and reclaim the freedom that you were born with, bound by nothing but the limits of your imagination. These are just a few examples of assuring that your rights are being protected. By far, the most important line of defense against this deception is to be aware of the perversion of language and be absolutely aware of how you form your beliefs and concepts. In all forms of the perversion of language, there is a mirror reflection of this in the microcosm of the psyche.
Hey, Shorty, are you on here?
And the problem I see with humanity today is we don't truly...
Marvin? Are you on here, Shorty?
We have the house, the children, the
film, the television... Oh, there's Maya. And Charles is also on...
Okay, I can't make out what he's saying.
Hey guys, I'm Chris from Michigan here. You guys are really breaking up. I think you need to mute a lot of people out and just have two people talk at a time.
Okay, we got her.
Yeah, I can't hear anything.
No, it was bad.
Everything's coming in real garbled.
Yeah, sure is. So who was talking there?
I think Shorty and Marvin were playing a recording earlier.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I couldn't make out anything.
Yeah, I think that was a bad idea. It'd be nice to capitalize on Thomas's or the presence that of our guest speaker here that it's got limited time, energy, resources, and it'd be nice to get right to that, I think.
Well, we will. And this is Seeking Justice Resource Community, and we're live tonight, and some of our guests have come in. We have a special guest. Ghost is going to be on here, and he's going to be sharing some stuff with us. Ghost, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Well, then you have the mic, and we'll all be listening.
All right, so I'm going to go back to the email I sent you, and I'm just going to go in order on the docs here and give a brief overlay of them. First one I'm seeing here is the caption document. This was, of course, the title page, and these are just samples. They're filled in. Of course, you have yourself as the real man, the living soul. And you're filing these under the writ of Ketam on behalf of the King of all kings and yourself. The entities that you're seeking in this case, it was John F. Kelly, Office of the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. You would make it applicable to whoever you were seeking remedy or relief from. And I recommend the verbiage after it be left in, because that is including anything and everything that those lawyers may try to weasel in and out of that I've seen in my own personal cases. And, of course, they all must be filed under and out of the authority of necessity, because there are no laws at this point.
Ghost, is that the can you say the file name of the document you're referring to?
Yeah, caption.
Caption, okay, thank you.
And I think the rest of it's self-explanatory. We're demanding original jurisdiction, original venue, original law form. And of course, some people may construe that as constitutional. That's not at all what I claim. I claim the absolute original from the creator, nothing less. And of course, it's filed in private and public because some of the issues can only be handled in public. Some can only be handled on the private side. And it is an absolute equity. You also must be very careful of how you title the court. I see a lot of people filing things into the United States District Court. That's not what was authorized by Congress. The congressional authorization was the District Court of the United States. So you've got to be very careful of words when you file. Very careful. You've almost got to be anal about things. Is there any questions on that document? That's pretty short and sweet, that one.
Yes. It's looking good. It is short and sweet. Do you have is this the listing of this probably doesn't include the listing of all of the powers that be that need to receive a copy of the package that we'll be constructing off of your documents?
No, because right, this would be specifically for those you're seeking remedy or relief from, but that does not preclude you from notifying other various persons in different jurisdictions and venues of the impending matter.
Yes. I don't see any reference in this document to any of the interests that emanate from Rome. Is that...
I included that in a later email with Shorty. I'm trying to find the name of it here. Oh, it's addresses. And it was to show that I actually served these people my bills back in February. So I just gave you a copy of my declarations of service, so that you could see that, of course, I walk what I talk. I did file these, and I showed who I filed them with. In the state of West Virginia, we found in their code that the county government deals with the estates. So, of course, I served this upon our county government. Other states may be different, but I have a feeling that you're going to find that the county governments are dealing with the estates. And, of course, the trust is being handled at the federal level. Still, it's the same thing, but it allows the county to get their cut.
Mm-hmm.
The next person that we did was the Chief Justice John G. Roberts at the U.S. Supreme Court. Of course, that's pretty self-explanatory in itself. The next one was the purported president, Mr. Trump himself, as CEO of the corporation that is running the show here. The next one was Pepe Orsini over at the Vatican, or now it's actually the Holy See is the actual business name it's going under. Of course, I did my purported governor. I did the provost marshal as the highest military and public I guess you could say police officer in the nation. We did the highest military judge, which was the Judge Advocate General Flora Darpino at the University of Virginia. The Senate clerk, because under the laws of England, the highest court in a nation under English law is actually the Congress, legislature, whatever you have in the jurisdiction you're dealing with. And, of course, the Senate is higher than the House. So we serve this upon the Senate clerk. At the state level, we did it upon the Secretary of the Senate. Or, I'm sorry, the Secretary of the Senate is the federal. And the Senate clerk was our state. And the last one... I think that was it. Yeah, because it's just repeating itself now. So those are the nine entities that we serve, because they all play a role in the administration of the Global Trust. Pursuant to the 1302 Papal Bull, the Pope claimed everything on earth, including your souls, in trust. So he is the trustee. And what you see as government are really just administrators or co-trustees in the trust.
Ghost, which pope was that?
Say that again?
Which pope was that?
Pepe Orsini. He's the gray pope. He's the head of the three.
Okay.
The white and the black were removed from power in 2015. They're just public figureheads at this point.
Okay, so which pope made the claim?
I don't know his name. I can get the papal bull and send it to you.
You just know the time frame, right?
1302. I have the papal bull. I have a copy of it from their website. Yeah, 1302. A quick Google search in the Vatican website. You can pull it up in English.
Well, I'm not trying to discredit what you got, but what I'm trying to do is wrap my head around this. And so the Pope plays in proportion to this because of something back then. And even back then, we were not established, but we are now.
Well, you're not actually established. Under the Treaty of Peace, you gave your treasury, which is your money, and your elector status back to the king as the representative of the Holy Roman Empire. So you didn't control your money. You didn't control who went in office. So you were never a sovereign nation under international law. And that's where the 1302 papal bull, you also have two papal bulls in the 1400s, which were the doctrines of conquest. You have the Treaty of 1213 between the Pope and the King, where the King gave everything forever that was under his control, whether then or in the future, to the Pope. And, of course, the colonies were crown corporations, and so they were the Popes, and your declaration was actually interfering in a private contract, and the founding traitors failed to properly execute a war against the Pope, probably because they knew and were trying to con us, the regular man, at that time, into believing you were free, when in actuality you had never broken the actual contract that mattered. You may have declared yourself free from the king, but you never declared yourself free from the Pope. I can't find that anywhere. And actually, there was a treaty, I think 1798, I have to find it, where they did declare as the supreme law of the land that this nation was not founded on any Christian principles at all. So that was another fallacy perpetuated by the Patriots, is that this was found a Christian-founded nation, when in fact the supreme law of the land says it was not. So I will find those documents, and I'll send them in a future email.
So what happened to those Christians that came to America before America was established? Why are they not a part of the equation?
They came under crown patents.
The Quakers
The crown funded it. They weren't, they didn't just come on their own. The crown funded it.
Well, in some instances, he did, but what about the Quakers?
Well, they were overtaken, just like the Indians. Indians have superior claim.
I know that they were overtaken.
Yeah. But they may have had a claim, but they were overtaken by the crown. I know that it's hard to believe as a patriot that you never had anything, but once you get past that, you'll start to be able to deconstruct the system, and then you may actually find remedy or relief at some point. But going down the patriot myth path, you will continue to be you'll continue to hit a brick wall everywhere you go. I've seen it. You'll get an occasional victory here or there. They got to throw the poor people a piece of cake every once in a while. But on a continuous basis, patriots lose and go to prison all the time. Continuously. Hi, this is Jeremiah here in Northern California. Just wanted to chime in and let you guys know that I think that it's a valuable point that you're bringing up, okay? What about the Declaration of Independence, okay? And
okay.
Where it says, we the people, the
All
people.
Right.
Are you going to go into a definition of the people and then create two circumstances with the definition, or what's going on there?
Well, I'm going to declare that I'm Batman right now. Does that mean anything to the Pope? No. Doesn't mean anything. So the declaration means nothing. Means nothing.
So you're saying, let me get this straight. You're saying this country is managed and owned by a foreign agent?
Else? They are administrating on behalf of the Holy See the Global Trust of 1302.
Yeah, that makes sense, because Columbus came when he came by, he stepped on the soil with the
okay.
flag of Spain and the cross of the Pope, and claimed the whole new world to the Pope and the King.
And there were two papal bulls. Anything that was done on behalf of the King after the 1213 treaty was on behalf of the Pope, because he signed everything over.
Right.
You're talking, so the Pope would represent an ecclesiastical interest. Is that correct?
Well, no. The Pope has multiple interests.
It's all religion. It's all religious.
The moment you say Pope and Holy See, I understand that the Holy See has a relationship with the Department of Defense. It's not a secret. You can go to the Department of Defense's website and actually find a Holy See page. So go over there right now and check it out for yourself, okay? But the issue is still, okay, that they're ecclesiastical versus truly independent, free, sovereign states. And the issue...
I don't think you're understanding...
At the time
what...
of the Norman invasion, where you had a clear distinction between state... And not saying church necessarily, but the actual ecclesiastical church was actually defeated in a sense to statism. You see what I'm saying? States actually began to dominate the world governmental demography, if you will.
You could call it whatever you want. They've used words to manipulate things. I'm just telling you how it operates. You can call it whatever you like. The state, as you call it, is an administration device. That's all it is. You can call it a state. You can call it a nation. You can call it a territory. You can call it a county. I don't care what you call it. I'm just telling you what it operates as. It's an administration device. That's it.
What's wrong with that?
Well, there's nothing wrong with it if you like the way you're being administrated.
I think, I'll be honest with you, I like the law. I think we have a good law system right now, and as soon as we figure it out, we'll get all the T's dotted, across, and the I's dotted, we'll be on a pretty good path of redevelopment.
Well, I disagree, because I've served time in jail for two victimless crime. So I disagree that the law form that we have is beneficial to us as beneficiaries of a trust.
I disagree
okay,
also.
Well,
I'd like to throw in something that I experienced. I was locked down for 6 years. I went in twice. The second time I went in on a parole violation. During my first stay in, it was like 4.5 years. I studied and studied. The second time I got in front of the judge, I used their own laws to their disadvantage, because I held the judge accountable to 28 U.S.C. 636 and 1604. And I saw the judge actually stop in his tracks because I held him to I don't consent based on his own law. And I do not waive immunity from that particular environment, the United States District Court. He didn't know what to do. I went back three times for a status hearing. The first time he didn't satisfy his purpose, the second time the same thing. And at the end of the second meeting on Saturday, the next Saturday or after the Friday I was in, at 9 o'clock in the morning, I had the special investigator from the prosecuting office at the jail want to talk to me. And I restated what I said in court, and at that time I said, I want my check. Because the check is the bond to protect the innocent. Man is the innocent one. The defendant and the plaintiffs are part of the language of the equity system. And anyway, I've found that their own laws, I found the laws actually beneficial to me when I held them accountable to it. Now, if that means anything,
I tried the same thing, and I was sentenced right away.
Well, he said to me at one time, he says, I don't want to hear that. I said, yeah, but sir, but your own laws say I have a right not to waive immunity. Your own law says I have a right not to consent and without adverse substantial consequences, I said. I said, sir, you can't adjudicate this matter adversely against me. And he shut up.
I thought I heard Charles chiming in there for a minute.
Yeah, that was Charles.
Yeah. Anyway.
Hey, I have to get off. I got on secretly. My name is Jeffrey Fish. I'm in Colorado. I'm nobody. I call in and talk with Shorty and call and listen in. I want to say something, and I got to go. I was just watching a friend of mine, an abolitionist, down in Dallas, Texas. His name is Todd Bullis, a bold Christian, and he was just arrested. He was filming it live on Facebook, and he was holding signs of aborted babies and signs to call people to repentance, exposing the evils of abortion and stuff. And so he was on a public sidewalk. This is what Todd was saying. He was on a public sidewalk at a university there, and it's a state university. So he was on their private property, I'm assuming, because he was in the campus on a public street that is open to the public. And the cops came and told him, they immediately asked him for his ID. He says, am I being detained? Am I being charged with a crime? They said, they have the right to ask for an ID of anybody on that property. And he disputed with them. Eventually, they said they were detaining him for trespassing, criminal trespassing. And so they forced him to give the ID. Then they ran a check. They held on to his ID for a couple minutes. They ran a check. They came back and said, now we're asking you to leave. And he said no, because he believed what he was doing. He'd researched the street. So I'm kind of like just taking his word for it. I don't know exactly what the legalities is, but they, right there on camera, they told him to put his hands behind his back. They arrested him. And so I don't know if that had a whole lot to do with your discussion, but I just wanted to throw it out there
Here's a quick answer for you, okay? If they didn't have any signs posted saying that you're subject to being identified here or recognized in some legal way, okay, then they can't do warrantless searches of people. Neither can they actually request your ID unless they're planning on making an arrest. You know what I'm saying? So just saying, hey, look, we require your ID is not enough to arrest. You see, in other words, that's not an arrest.
Yeah, I understand that. We face this all the time out on the streets, and I've learned a lot of what I've learned from Todd himself, and he knows. If I go to an event, Todd's always like in charge, and he deals with the police, and so he knows his stuff. And so he was holding them to account, but they strong-armed them this time. They did give them – I think they got their order wrong. If they're in the right, they immediately asked for an ID and then claimed that because it's a university, they have the right to ask anybody of their ID for any time for any reason. And he didn't like that. He didn't like that. They didn't tell him, you're trespassing. We're giving you a chance to leave now. And then ask for his ID. They went ID first, and then he quibbled about that. And then they said he is being charged with trespassing. Then they demanded the ID, which he handed it over. And then they, after they made sure he didn't have any wants or warrants, they said, now we're asking you to leave. He says, I will not. And then they made him put his hands behind his back. Because he said no, because he knew in his mind that he was doing what was lawful. Because it's open to the public.
So they never asked him to leave. They never really asked him to leave.
They did ask him after they ran him. Then they asked him to leave, and he said no, because he already believes that he's doing a First Amendment activity on a public street. It's a public sidewalk. It might be on a university state property, but that part I'm not clear on. I'm taking other, like, the officer's word for it and melding it with what Todd's saying, that he says there are no signs.
There's a lot of answers.
Hey, Jeffrey.
There's a lot of answers. Yes, yes.
Yeah, Jeffrey, Shorty. Hey, call me about 9:30 my time. It's right at the 7:30 hour. Call me on my personal line, and we'll discuss this.
All right, I didn't mean to hijack. I was just wanting to throw it out
there.
No, that's okay.
That's good.
Okay. All right, I'll talk to you later.
I'll look for you call later.
Okay, all right, bye.
Okay, go. She has the mic again.
All right, second document was authorities. I don't use code or case law because if you derive a benefit from the code or the case law, technically they can apply the whole system to you, so I don't put a foot into the system at all. It is strictly scriptural and maxims of law and equity.
Make a point there with what you're saying. Their statutes and codes or ordinances only apply to the corporate entity, the trust. They don't apply to the man.
They do, but no one has actually really went in there and separated the two properly.
How can they apply to the man? Because it's a person they apply to. The sovereign is not a person.
Yes,
but no,
but if you... If you try
That's
to
correct.
Derive a benefit
oh my
from God. It.
Hey, excuse me. This
that
guy
is
so correct. I found case law today that actually substantiates his claim, where it states the county is not a person. That means people that are under the county, the de jure government, are actually not considered legal persons. They can't sue or be sued. Wow. Excellent knowledge there, sir, whoever you are.
Yeah. Because a sovereign is not a person. I got four or five Supreme Court cases, more than that. I got maybe eight or nine Supreme Court cases that validate just what I'm saying.
I've seen them. I brought them up. I've been through the system twice already, and that's just criminal. I've also went through the family system. They will apply them if they want to. I'm just telling you the way I've seen it.
Everybody, listen.
I'm here just simply to present the equitable angle. I'm not here to argue because I don't care what anybody does. You can go in there and claim whatever you want. I could care less. We're all free in your own mind. So you can walk in there and claim whatever you want. I'm not here to dispute that or argue with it. If you wish to claim case law and code, by all means do it. Please. Do whatever you like. I can care less.
Thank you.
I'm not here to say I was brought on by Shorty simply to present the documents that I have. That's it. And to explain them. So if you wish to make that argument, you go make that argument.
I actually apologize and beg forgiveness here. I didn't realize you were just trying to explain something. I also think maybe I possibly acted too quickly. And you and interrupted you in the middle of your explanation. So if there's anything else, I'd just be silent now and give you, of course.
Look, I take no offense to it. I was just brought on for this. I wasn't here to debate anything because you're not going to change my mind. I deal with a high-level Jesuit out of the Vatican. I know how it's run. You're not going to change my mind on anything. I'm just presenting you another angle under customs, the law of customs, and not the statutory constitutional framework as it is. That's
right.
It.
Well, that's interesting because, I'm sorry, if you don't mind. You know, the common law of England is actually under the 100 courts, okay? And that has an ecclesiastical attribute to it because in Exodus 18:25, it talks about Moses organizing the courts in groups of tens, fifties, hundreds, and thousands. And so because of that ecclesiastical or church orientation of the common law of England, I can't help but wonder, you know, that if the Pope's involvement in this has something to do with preserving the rights of the people that are claiming the common law courts, which would be ultimately the organization of townships, precincts, and districts, which are clearly separate, okay, from the ambiguous term municipal corporation, you know, because the whole idea would be that they're all arms of the county. The county is, again, not a legal person, and therefore everyone inside of that construct is sovereign. If you don't mind responding, that'd be great.
I think you are correct. I look at it as a layer cake. So you started at the beginning of time, and man built stuff onto it and kept bits and pieces of it as it went on. So when you say the tens and the hundreds, you are correct. That is biblical in form, but then again, man took it and corrupted it for his own use. And I think that you'll find that every county in America is a municipal corporation at this point. And I can tell you for a fact, West Virginia's counties were municipal from the beginning, from day one. And they were given the right to sue and be sued from day one in their charters. And I can only speak on West Virginia because that's where I've lived, that's where I've fought the battle, and that's what I've researched. It may or may not be that way in your place.
Well, no, it is. It's they have a city and county that's combined, actually. It's one of the only thing, only actually, it's one of the only ones in the country that is a city and county both combined. But the interesting thing is about counties. Oh my goodness. Seems like truth always calls for sirens. But the interesting thing about the counties in the different states is that this is where we have a preservation of states' rights that needs to be acquiesced to by all of us. Okay, every community has a right to be its own independent sovereign community. Okay, and that's where the idea of states' rights comes into play. So what? Indiana or West Virginia or Wisconsin has a different style, okay, about them with regard to the common law, right? As long as we fundamentally remember the core principles, okay, regarding separation of powers and due process, everybody will be protected.
I think we're straying quite a ways from Ghost's presentation here, Jeremiah.
That's right. That's right. And so, Marvin, can you take care of that? Anyway, Ghost,
he's right. But like I said, look at it as a layer cake. They've kept building on top of it. Okay, so peel back the layers. Peel back the layers. But he is right. And I think that you would find once the Papal Bull of 1302 was enacted, you had the Knights Templars, you had several military orders of the Vatican that was dispatched to control the legal, financial, and educational systems on earth. And you will find, if you look, that the common law of England was corrupted by the Jesuit influence. And remember, that's what we were granted under the Constitution, was the common laws of England as of the date of the Declaration. So that would have been 1776. So everything that was in effect in England is in effect here unless it's been explicitly altered or repealed.
I would like to briefly modify amend that proposition by stating the case law related to those issues indicates that the full wording of that same passage that Ghost just repeated here also includes wording that says that as applicable within our Republican form of government, so far as is applicable within our Republican form of government, the common law has been adopted. And that's an important footnote because that gets us out from underneath the entire Roman evil empire system. I yield.
You're partially correct. I think the terms were they used more often than not was repugnant. And then you have to get into what did the Constitution supposedly grant you and what it didn't to find out what was still in effect. But you have to look at the laws of conquest to fully understand. And the laws of conquest are the laws in effect in an area are in effect after conquest until the conqueror specifically alters or repeals them. And I've seen no alteration or repeal on most things from England. What they've done is added on, mainly.
Well, I'm sure you're 100% correct in the modus operandi of what we're laboring under, the despotism. I do believe it is...
I'm trying to show you the system as it is, not as you wish it to be.
Right. But technically speaking, back in 1776 and so, some powerful things happened that I think are legal principles that we can resurrect that did promote a pure common law form of government. But it's just been adulterated to the powers that be are refusing to recognize those principles that were more libertarian in their nature.
Okay. So the third document was the Bill for Specific Performance. This is in equity, and this can be used in many different ways. I mean, whatever government entity is bothering you and you feel it is infringing on something you believe is a right, privilege, freedom, or immunity, you can hold them to specific performance of their contract. And the contract would be as it's explicitly written, not under revision by unlawful and illegal case law. And I think this was written, actually this entire packet was written in deference to someone interfacing with the system in a criminal manner. And so the basis of the arguments are the alteration of jurisdiction, venues, and law forms from the original as assigned by the Constitution. And so it's a template, and like I said, if you read it, you will see it was written from the perspective of those arguments. And those arguments can be altered to fit just about anything you can imagine under the sun here, especially concerning the three-letter agencies that harass people the most because they actually have no constitutional legging or authority to stand on because Congress lacked the ability to have authority to bring them to life.
Yeah. Nice.
And of course, the remedy and relief in this case was specifically for someone unlawfully detained. And so you could change and alter the remedy or relief to fit what you were seeking at that time. And I see a lot of application with the IRS, FBI, DEA, any of these agencies, anything that is not explicitly written out in the original Constitution actually has no legal basis to exist. And that's what you're seeking. You're seeking specific performance of the contract as explicitly written. That's it. And that's it. That's an ancient bill in equity.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions on that? Because I'm just trying to give a basic overview of it. I'm not trying to get into specific ways to use it. I'm just trying to give a basic overview.
Yeah, your bill of specific performance here, this sounds like it's probably the foundation for all of your documents. Is that correct?
It's well, I Actually, I did the packet of five as a whole. I'm hitting the same relief and remedy from five different angles is what I was doing with it. So I wouldn't say that it's integral because each of these can be pulled out separately and can stand on their own. Like I said, this packet was designed for those imprisoned in the system. So I was hitting them from as many angles that I could, from equity and from the doctrine of customs, rather than using the statutory framework. I'm trying to use what man has used in the past.
I comprehend.
Okay, the next one is the bill of accounting, and this is the one that I believe has given the few cases this has been filed into has given them a lot of heartache, because it's addressing the Sescavi trust. Some of you will call it a nom de gloire. Some of you will call it a straw man. Some of you will call it a Sescavi. Some of you call it an estate. I don't care what you call it. This is addressing the matter in equity, a beneficiary. The proper way to address those issues is by a bill of accounting. And so only a beneficiary can file this. You can't be anything but a beneficiary to file it. The Sescavi Act has never been altered or repealed here. And it is the basis for the construct of the straw man that they're using. It is also the way that the Pope has given the proceeds of the church to the administrators to care for you until you are of age to care for yourself. Unfortunately, it has been stolen and misused and has been kept from you, but that is what the original account was designed by the Vatican for. The countries do get, upon your birth, monies from the Vatican to support you until you are of age. So the bill of accounting is the proper way to address it, and basically we're asking for a full accounting of any and all assets, and we use a lot of legalese in here because we're trying to cover all the different ways that this, because a trust can hold assets, physical, it can hold financial assets. There's many different types of assets that it can hold. It can invest. It can do many things. So I tried to address as many of the things that I've seen through my research for it to be touching. And the remedy and relief on this would stay the same for anybody filing it, because you're seeking a full accounting of any of all the assets associated with your straw man name or your social, and in present terms, basically everything is run through your social. There is a new 20, I think it's a 20-digit number that they're using internationally, but I haven't yet to find anyone that has been able to give us access to it to find out what it is. And then we're seeking an independent trustee to come in to settle, transfer, close, dissolve, discharge, reconcile, audit, all of these assets, and to transfer or revert them to us, in effect dissolving the trust or estate. And I know a lot of people talk about dissolving it, and Judge Anna's brought it up quite a bit, so she's partially right in some things. This is the old-fashioned way of doing it as a beneficiary walking in with a bill of accounting.
That's very interesting. Quick question. These are documents that you you filed with somebody?
Yeah, I filed these worldwide.
Really? With whom? I'm just curious.
I mentioned them at the beginning of the call, and I sent the list out to Shorty. I'm not sure if he's forwarded it yet.
You can tell me now.
Where is it?
What was the question, Ghost?
Okay.
I'm asking him who he sent these things to.
County Commission. Wood County Commission. Chief Justice John G. Roberts. Purported President Donald Trump. Pepe Orsini, Gray Pope. Purported Governor Jim Justice. Provost Marshal, Major General Mark S. Inch. Judge Advocate General Flora Darpino, Senate Clerk Clark Barnes, West Virginia, Secretary of the Senate Julie E. Adams, Federal Senate. Yes, that was right there.
Well, thank you for that.
All right. Any questions on the bill of accounting? I think it's quite self-explanatory, but it's trying to dissolve the nexus, the straw man, the all caps, the corporation, the nom de gloire, whatever it is in that specific instance that they're trying to use against you. We're trying to dissolve it so that it's no longer there.
No, not from Donaldson. You don't have a question from me, but I can just I hear you, and it's an interesting perspective, to say the least.
All right, the next one is a bill of discovery. And once again, in this specific instance, it was for the straw man, the social, and anything attached to it. This could be used by itself for anything. I use this in place of FOIAs because I refuse to derive a benefit from their military realm. And so I found that the bill of discovery was there in times past, and so I use it in place of a FOIA. And in this case, we used it as supplement to the bill of accounting because we want to know everything they have concerning those two entities, not just the assets or the trust estates. We want to see everything. We want to see all the paperwork. And I think it's self-explanatory. Like I said, you can use this as a FOIA in place of a FOIA. That's what I use in place of a FOIA.
So FOIA is an administrative procedure. That's what I've learned, right? So how do you use it as an administrative? Are you saying it's only applicable in the state? Is that why you had to use that? A different kind of – it's not the FOIA? It's federal?
Well, FOIA is state and federal. I mean, we have FOIA in West Virginia, but you're deriving a benefit from a statute or code.
FOIA is not state and federal. That's strictly federal. State.
No, we have FOIA. Yeah. We have FOIA in West Virginia.
It's something
I'm
similar.
No,
I know. I'm not saying you're wrong, sir. You're right. You have something.
I'm just using generalized terms. But we have, you can request under statute information from an entity in the state the same way you can do it at the federal level. I don't care what you call it. Doesn't matter what you call it. It's the same thing. I use this in its place.
I have a question, Ghost.
Go ahead.
You have what appears to be a Social Security number highlighted in yellow?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because, like I said, this whole packet here that you're looking at, I wrote for this gentleman for a specific purpose. And I just use it, I give it away as a template for people so that they can see what it is. We were wanting information, all and any documents, writings, papers, data of any nature, shape, cause, kind, form, and format on the straw man and the social. You could ask for other things. I mean, if you wanted information on the congressional authorization for the DEA, to do this specific thing, you can ask for that. That's what you can put in there.
So if a guy doesn't have a social, you don't have to include that?
I mean, it depends on what you're looking for. It's a bill of discovery, so you're looking for something.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, it just depends on what you're looking for. Like I said, in Fields' case, we were looking for anything tangible in nature that was associated with his social or the name. That's what we wanted.
That kind of reminds me of my early stages back in 2001, 2002, when requesting for any documentations and notes and all that there.
Correct.
You didn't get it all, and then you'd be reading something that you did get, and it said the therapist made some notes, and you look and you don't have the notes for the therapist. And so then you get the therapist notes, and then the therapist said that the doctor said this, that, and the other, and the doctor made notes, and so you didn't get the doctor notes.
Correct. And the bill of discovery was actually at common law, you didn't have a right for discovery. And you had to leave the court of common law to go to equity if you needed to discover something. And so this is an ancient bill that allowed you to get discovery when you had a case at law or before you had a case at law. Whereas today's system, it's part of the blended bullshit they've put together. Like I said, I'm going back based upon customs.
Well,
and that's where the bill, and that's where the bill was derived from.
Okay.
Next would be the declaration notice of service. This is what I use, the format I use when I mail these to these people. And you include the documents you're sending, who you're sending it to, and that way they all know that each other's being served. It's pretty self-explanatory. The next document is the declaration, and these are things that I have seen in use within their system. A lot of the documents you haven't seen in their courts that they use. There's a lot of filings I found while I was in prison with other inmates that most of the time it's kept at the clerk or judge level, and it's never actually put into the public record. And so these are a lot of things that I found, especially if anybody's read a lot of old case law, you had to put yourself upon the state for them to move. And I saw the document in prison in West Virginia where they declared this gentleman who was had the IQ of about a seven-year-old, he was about 40, they declared that he had put himself upon the state, which was basically its consent to move forward. And if you look at the old case law and you look at the entire file and not just the opinions, you will find that the lawyers always put their clients upon the state. But it's various things, especially concerning the alteration of jurisdiction, venues, and law forms, and the use of implied or case law derivative forms of law in application to yourself. It's also addressing the Seska V Act. It's addressing the claims that you would be making to the Grey Pope. That you are in fact alive, that you are an heir, that you are of age, you're not lost, you're not dead, you're not an enemy. Various presumptions that I've found they use over and over again. Any questions on that?
Well, I have a couple. Let me roll up here to where I'm at.
Okay.
In one part, it says, I deny that I'm not lost at sea. And then right below it, I deny that I am dead. So, oh, I see. Yeah, you're denying that you're not dead, right?
Right. See, in law, one of the maxims is he who affirms must prove. So I try not to declare anything unless I absolutely have to. I always try to deny. And that makes them prove the opposite then. They got to prove I'm dead. They've got to prove I'm lost at sea. If I'm standing there or if I filed a document, obviously I'm neither.
Right. And so where do they claim the opposite?
Well, they have to prove. It's called a declaration of negative averment.
I understand that.
Okay,
but I'm not
understanding your question then.
My question is, do they have, a routine of claiming the opposite?
Well, that's the Seska V Act. That's that straw man. They're either claiming you're an enemy, you're dead, you're lost at sea.
Oh,
that's why that straw man name's there.
When you're talking about straw man, you're talking about the all caps.
All caps, yeah, because it depends on what the hat he's wearing that day. It could be a nom de gloire, a war name, as an enemy. It could be the straw man or the Suscovy Trust. It could be an estate. They may be trying to rack charges against the estate for services rendered. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to combat all the angles they use into one document. And these are just ones that I've seen or personally witnessed in court paperwork that they've used.
Okay.
Like I said, there's a lot of things that they're generating that you're not seeing.
So what you're saying about the presentation that you're giving with these documents, it's all incorporated in one document.
The declaration is meant to be in support of any of the other bills by themselves or as a packet.
So,
because there's bills here. There's the bill of accounting, the bill of discovery, the bill of co-warranto, the bill of habeas.
Okay, so are those considered individual documents? Or are those
you can file. That's why I broke them up here. You can file them individually, depending upon the case, or in the case of someone incarcerated, you file the whole packet at one time. The declaration, the notice, the authorities, those are in support of any of the documents in its singular nature or as the packet in whole. Some of these are just supporting documents.
And should there be a notice before the court that you want to have these documents heard?
Under equitable rules in West Virginia, they have 30 days for a bill in equity judgment. So I'm not sure that there's really I guess people don't really understand equity. Equity is you make your whatever claim it is in the bill. The other side responds. You show up and you get the judgment. There, it isn't a drawn-out matter like it is at law. There isn't all these motions that's filed. It's much different. And in West Virginia, it is 30-day judgment on a bill.
So, in other words, if they don't respond to it,
I move for summary judgment at that point.
Now, I know, like, when you're doing requests for admissions, they have 30 days to respond to it, or otherwise everything in there is deemed in your favor.
Yeah, I can only go to what West Virginia does,
right?
And the custom and the law of customs. Like I said, I don't deal with this statutory maritime common law stuff because I know it's all been adulterated from its original intent and form. So I'm dealing with the law of customs. Things that span back farther than the memory of man, I think, is the maxim of law. So I deal with the customs. You're attempting to put it into the statutory framework, and they're like oil and water. But like I said, in West Virginia, it is 30-day judgment. Not 30 days to answer, not 30 days to set up trial. It's 30-day judgment in West Virginia on equitable matters.
Well, let me give you a scenario. Up in Michigan, we worked on a case up there, and they basically just wanted to throw everything out. And the last trial...
Was this criminal or civil in nature?
No, this had to do with the property tax issue.
So it's civil in nature?
Yes.
Okay.
And so on various venues, he just overruled everything and then claimed that we shouldn't be filing any more documents or we're going to go to jail or that we can't talk anymore in the manner in which we've been speaking, otherwise we're going to jail.
The highest court in Michigan, or was that a lower court?
Andrew, you want to speak on that?
That's a circuit court.
So it was a mid-level court?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at that moment, then I would immediately file a co-warranto on that judge into a higher court with a bill of specific performance and a bill of accounting for that specific case.
Yeah, so that'd be going to an appeals.
Well, you could call it an appeal, but it's not an appeal. You're seeking specific performance, and you're wanting to know who they are, and you can't seek those things from the same person that you're seeking it of.
Okay, but the higher court, in, as I understand it, would be an appeal. We might call it an appeals court, or are we going to the Supreme Court of the state?
Well, it depends on how your state's set up. See, here we don't have appeals courts in West Virginia. You go straight from the circuit court to the Supreme Court. If you have appeals courts, I would skip over those because generally those are inferior jurisdiction and can't deal with original writs.
Well, that's right. That's my concern. Correct. I agree.
Yes. So you would then jump up and you would co-warranto that judge, specific performance that judge, and then on top of it, you want an accounting of all the behind-the-scenes stuff that's going on with that case because it's all money behind the scenes. It's all
correct.
Money. And you could do a bill of discovery as well on that. You know, you can hit them in many different ways, but I don't deal with appeals courts because they're normally strictly for appeals type things, and appeals are admiralty. Okay, there's not an appeal at law. There's a writ of error at law. Appeals, when you go to appeals court, you're admitting you're an admiralty.
Yeah, I see your point. Yep.
Okay, does that answer
it? Correct, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Anything else on that one, on that document?
Nope.
Okay. Let's see. The next one here is declaratory judgment. Declaratory judgment. And in this matter, we were looking to see if the entity, and in this case it was the Department of Homeland Security, had a contract of any kind that gave them any authority of any kind over this man because they were interfering with his wife coming into the country. And so this one was written to see if that specific entity had a contract. And that's really what the declaratory judgment, I think a lot of people should focus on, is there a contractual nexus between you and the entity you're seeking remedy or relief from? If there's no contractual nature, there is no nexus point for them
absolutely
to interface with you. And so that's what this one is for. And then the remedy in this specific case was that they didn't have the contract. And then, of course, we said that because there isn't one, they can't exercise or utilize authority or jurisdiction, venue of any nature at any time, that we didn't acquire representation or membership in their corporate structure. Then we forced them to admit that all law is contract, all contract is law. And so for them to move against us in the future, after this, they need a contract or agreement in hand or an actual injured party by man. And, of course, if you wanted to change this, which I'm not sure what else you would want to seek a declaratory judgment for other than to see if there's a contractual nexus, but you can seek a declaratory judgment. Basically, it was for determining of rights before lawsuits. So as if you're trying to determine a right, a privilege, a freedom, or immunity, you seek the bill of declaratory judgment before you enter into a matter. Yeah, it's supposed to eliminate unnecessary litigation of rights, privileges, freedoms, and immunities. And it's also supposed to cut down on the expense of the courts. That's how they look at it within their system. Declaratory judgment is codified, but once again, I'm using the laws of custom for this document. Any other questions on this one? I think this one's fairly simple.
I'd like to briefly comment that declaratory judgments I know to be extremely powerful along with the co-warranto process. I'm glad you're studying those areas.
It is, like I said, the declaratory is codified, but I don't base my authority or the benefit of it from the codification of it. All these documents are based upon the laws of customs that men use them in times past. All right, the next document is one of the supporting documents, and this is a notice and declaration of acceptance, acknowledgement, claim, and continuance. And this is where we're addressing the things with the Pope in reality. I mean, it is also with the government here, or what purports to be a government, but we're letting him know that we're accepting, acknowledging, and claiming everything we were granted at birth from the Creator, which would include your straw man nom de guar, whatever identifier it is within their system. We're also claiming that because it is based upon our blood and sweat equity.
Nice. I know a lot of patriots are abandoning it. They think that the entanglements are somehow an admission to consent to their jurisdiction, but it seems like you're recognizing that merely using that for our own advantage is not truly compromising our sovereignty. Is that correct?
My Jesuit friend at the Vatican said, look, you know, you were given things at birth, and the Pope, under his declaration, took it away from you because he claimed you were incompetent. And he said one of the easiest ways to show you're competent and also to present a claim is to accept, acknowledge, claim, and continue it. And you have to look at split title, okay? And the split title is there's legal title and there's equitable title. And you could, I guess you could, let's use the birth certificate as the easiest thing. They give you a copy of the birth certificate, right? It's only a copy, so it's not, you don't have the financial document in hand. So what you have is equitable, okay? What they hold is legal. And until the two are merged, it's a split title, okay? And what you're saying is, look, I have right to the legal title and the equitable title. And when you garner control of both, the title is full. It's whole again. And that means you're then in control of that asset. Now, you can also look at the birth certificate as an indemnity under the Libra Code and the Army Field Manuals, I think, of 41 and 69. I think those are the two. Where the military, when taking control of assets, gives you an indemnity certificate, okay? Because I know a lot of people have said, turn these documents in. I would never turn them in because it is proof of at least partial ownership in that item. And we're just addressing that issue. So we're claiming that the straw man, you may possess legal, I possess equitable, and I'm the beneficiary, and I'm here, I'm not dead, I'm alive, I want the titles merged. And at the point of merging it, then that creation dissolves. It's no longer needed. And the whole point of a lot of these documents is to dissolve that fiction so that there is no nexus between us and them. As a matter of fact, my Jesuit friend said he always thought that people should be using symbols that cannot be copied onto a computer because then they can't put you in a database. And that's what he told me. He said, look at the case of the artist Prince. What did he do to get out of his contract? He changed it to a symbol. The symbol can't be a part of their system. And he was able to get out of the contract that way. But that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to merge the legal and equitable together so that they no longer possess administrator status, trustee status, whatever you wish to call it, authority over that product of that document, whether it be your body, your house, your car, I don't care what it is. The titles are split. We're trying to merge them.
Yes.
And so we're just making a claim of it. I know a lot of patriots, they want to back away. Look, that's based upon you, your blood, sweat, energy, okay? They've put a price on you. And so that account, that estate, that trust, whatever it is in the specific matter you're dealing with, you have equitable right to. You just don't have legal right to it. We're trying to establish the legal right to. And this would be a supporting document for any of the bills in their singular form or as a packet.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other questions? Go ahead.
Well, just Charles here. We're going to be needing to be in touch with you in the future as we try to move forward with all of this, Ghost.
That's fine. Like I said, as long as someone calls me and gives me a brief overline of the problem, I can point you in the direction of what I would feel would be the best angle to hit with. And then if you have the ability, and I think most people on this call are fairly well educated and able to write for themselves, if they format it with the remedies, reliefs, and the things that they want on it, I have no problem then of going back and looking over it and make sure that it makes sense to a set of outside eyes.
Excellent. That's exactly what we needed to hear.
Basically, I can give you advice. I don't have time to do it for you. But like I said, I tried to make the templates. If you read it, you should be able to formulate it for whatever problem you're having yourself. You know, it is about regaining our own personal responsibility instead of having the responsibility lie on others. We need to be responsible for our own affairs. But the templates should help you at least in being able to formulate the angles that are needed. All right, the next one is the notice of declaration and cancellation, revocation, and this is based upon fraud, non-disclosure of pertinent facts, lack of authority of one of the parties, no meeting of the minds, duress, coercion, threats, lack of consideration, or their failure to provide their personal identification number, employee ID number, valid bond insurance, valid oath, accommodation agreement, the statutes, the implementing regulations, the state and federal register volume and page number, that you must consent or authorize jurisdiction over your living soul and to identify their principle of law. And upon failure to do that, you are canceling any documents that you may have with them. And then we do the same thing under the same causes for our signatures that are on any documents, only we're rescinding them, revoking them, canceling them, or voiding them. Because a lot of us have entered into tacit agreements unknowingly or through one of the causes there, and so we're seeking to void those out in a lawful manner with lawful causes. Not just saying, we're just voiding it because we're giving valid, lawful reasons for doing so.
And which document are we talking about?
That is notice and declaration of cancellation and revocation.
Okay.
A lot of times we've entered into an agreement that allows them to do what they're doing to us. And so we have to set forth that maybe there was a misunderstanding of some kind. Any questions on that one? Okay. The next one is entitled Notice. And this is, some people call it judicial notice. Once again, I do not give them the recognition of being judicial. So it is a simple notice and cognizance required. And this document goes at the alteration of jurisdiction, venue, and law form, and the alteration of the government from one that is contractually compliant to one that is run under emergency powers. And so I've accumulated as much case law and code, because it's their own words, not me saying it, it's their words saying it. So I've compiled their stuff against them. And that's all that document is. And that's another support document to back up your saying that they've altered something that wasn't supposed to be or permitted to be altered.
Yeah.
So I think it's self-explanatory.
Yeah, 2 pages of case law and code citations and treaties. Nice insight there, Ghost.
Yes, that's just their words against them. It's better said in their own words than mine. That's the way I felt about it. I'm not claiming them as my benefit. I'm using it to show that, look, you said you've changed this, you've changed that. Not me. You have. So I'm not using it to derive a benefit from it for myself. It is simply basically a storyline of what they've done.
Yeah.
All right. Any questions on that one? I think that one's self-explanatory as well. All right. And by the way, the case is in there. We didn't go and just pull a sentence out of the case. We looked at the case for the actual issues being litigated, because a lot of these case quotes that Patriots use is a one-sentence pull from a 50-page opinion that had nothing to do with the issues, and therefore it's not even controlling in their venue. So we base those upon the actual issues being litigated in that case. All right, the next one is co-warranto. And, of course, this is an ancient document testing the authority of someone in an office of profit or trust. I think most people know of it. Unfortunately, the present structure has taken it and turned it into a civil matter. And so, once again, I'm using this under the custom of laws. And so that it's not a civil matter, it is an equitable judgment requiring rapid judgment. It was originally used to test the offices and patents that the king had issued. In constructing it into this system, it is the offices that persons are elected or appointed or commissioned to. And in this case, once again, we are going at the alteration, repealing or ignoring of the original contract, the alteration of the law forms, venues, and jurisdictions of the original contract, and the specific, explicit, limited, delegated authorities and procedures of the original contracts.
Yeah.
And then we deny that they have authority to alter certain things, which are basically those specific things. And then we give them the definitions of an ultra vires act, and that what happens as an operation of law when they commit an ultra vires act. And we found the Article 1, Section 3 of the Constitution of West Virginia, which says that both constitutions, state and federal, must be in effect at all times and all places. And so because most Patriots love the constitutions, they have every right to access that specific article that I haven't seen in another constitution in this country here. So you do have the ability to access that, saying that they are in effect at all times, even during emergencies and war. And then, of course, you have your remedy and relief, and this, we're setting forth the orders that they are no longer in office. And, of course, I never seek money in the things that I do, but if they've injured you, you can, of course, add as your remedy and relief monetary damages, time spent. Like I said, most of these remedies and reliefs, you want to make it specific for what you're seeking in this matter. And basically, this is just about getting them out of office and having it declared as such. And then once that's been done, you then have the ability to seek monetary damages if necessary. Any questions on that one?
Brief segue.
Okay.
Charles here. I've worked closely with Hartford Van Dyke that advocates a form of commercial law that is custom similar. It predates the Uniform Commercial Code and everything. I can't help but think that if you and him compare notes, there would be a lot of commonality there.
Oh, I know Hartford. I worked with him back in 2015, and I know what you're speaking of.
Okay.
I never delved into it because I don't go around seeking money. That's not why I do what I do. I just seek justice and right. So I leave money things to other people. But you are correct. His process is a lot like that co-warranto, and it appears to me that he based it upon the ancient statute staple or merchant law from the, I would say, probably 1300, 1200, somewhere around that time. It's what it looked like to me.
Yeah.
So, yes, probably anybody that's on this call that hasn't looked at that, may want to look at that if they're trying to seek monetary damages to use in combination with some of these possibly. I don't seek money. That's not what I do it for.
The real battle's bigger than that. We're similar, yes.
Yes, yes. Okay, anything else? Okay, then the next one, this is the reservation page. So this would be your final page in the document, anything that you file. And basically what it is we are incorporating any documents, because a lot of us have filed things, you know, I don't know, affidavit of status, political affiliation. I mean, a lot of us patriots have filed a lot of things into the public record. So you have the ability to incorporate it by reference into this document. I also wanted to give the people the opportunity to incorporate the case that we did in 2015 at the West Virginia Supreme Court of Appeals, where we defaulted the entire structure nationwide. So you have the ability to pull in those documents and that evidence that we had into this case. And then you would list here, in this case, we listed the specific documents that we were filing, such as the notice and cognizance document, the declaration and acceptance of acknowledgement claim and continuance. So you would go through here, list all the documents if you're doing more than one, because a lot of times in the legalese realm, if you don't specifically at the end state that is being restated and incorporated herein, they tend to not they tend to ignore it in certain angles in them dismissing things. I've watched it. So I've learned to take any document that we want incorporated in this matter, including the ones we're filing, and state that.
Mm-hmm. Included herein by reference.
Correct. So it could be something you've done in the past. It could be previous case. It could be a previously filed document. Or it could be documents that you're filing right then. You just want to make sure that if you're filing more than one, you want to put them in there. And as you can see, we listed several here. We also listed the Holy Bible because the way I do things is most of the things that I use that are custom, I can find the beginning of it in the Bible somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And so like I said, I'm going back to the beginning as much as I can and trying to keep everything as pure as possible without interference by man. That is all it is. And then we define here, in this case, we used the United States of America is who he was suing. So we let them know that anytime we use that, what it means, if you are suing maybe the state or a county, you would replace it. That's it. You're putting it in under oath, telling them you can amend it, enhance it, or delete it. You reserve the right to define the words in it. And to interpret and construct the intent thereof, you're putting it under your personal oath. And then you're doing a little bit of legalese there with authorizing and affirming it, stated, made, issued, certified, confirmed. And then you're letting them know once again who you actually are, which is an heir of the Creator. You are the secured party, the holder in due course, the real party in interest. In other words, you're always in control. You're always in the highest position possible. At any of the angles they seek to interface with us at.
Yeah.
The final one here is, it's a bad title there. It's actually a habeas, but it's titled in the District Court of the United States. And this one I had written for myself, but I wrote it, I recently retyped it for someone. That's why the cover page is on there. If you're filing the initial cover page, you don't need to do that again. But we're going at angles that most people don't use on habeas, is most people want to argue statute, code, and case law. We're going at the fact that they're operating or conducting business in other capacities that they're not permitted to, such as maybe a corporate, commercial, military, political, ecclesiastical, that they've altered and changed the jurisdiction, venues, law forms, authorities, procedures not explicitly authorized by the original contract. These are the core issues at the bottom of the matter. I don't deal with, oh, they didn't let me speak, or, oh, they didn't let me file. I don't care about those minuscule arguments. I'm going at the actual hearts of the matter.
Yeah.
Specifically, this one was designed, as mine was, for a federal case. And so the big one is Article 3, Section 2, Clause 2, which states that the Supreme Court has original jurisdictions of all cases in which the state is a party. So anybody that is in a case against a state or a subdivision of it, it is required to be heard by the Supreme Court according to the original contract, which means it's a null and void court from the beginning. So, and like I said, that's strictly applicable when the state or a subdivision of it is a party. If it's a federal matter, you're going to have to remove that argument. It also once again brings up that the constitutions must be in effect at all times in pursuance and compliance to Article 1, Section 3. And because of the clause in the Constitution, I forget the exact clause, but you are afforded all the privileges and immunities of citizens of other states, so you are allowed to attach to the Constitution of West Virginia, Article 1, Section 3. Then we deal with the misapplication of case law, because most of their responses are case law, and there is no authority for case law to be used in any case but that case. There's no authority for it in the original Constitution. Them using case law to decide other matters is in contradiction to the Constitution, and so we're trying to void out their arguments before they even make them. And then we're, of course, putting forth that they're not producing firsthand fact evidence of contractually compliant jurisdiction venues and law forms, and that I have not knowingly, willingly, intelligently, and intentionally put myself upon the defendants, because that is the thing that I saw over and over again in prison. That was one of the first documents that the court drew up, is that you put yourself upon them, which means you consented to it. And so that is a very big issue for them, because I saw that document over and over again. It is also the other big argument that I saw over and over again is that you have joined in any and all alleged matters, which means you made an argument against their argument, which is why you see that I'm not doing arguments, no, I didn't grow pot. No, my argument is you're in the wrong jurisdiction, venue, and law form. You see the difference between the two arguments? I didn't join the issue. So I actually deprived the court of jurisdiction and venue at that moment. So those two key points are very key in what they're doing to us in these courts. And like I said, a lot of these orders you won't see, because these are things that are kept in the judge's file and not necessarily in the public or clerk file. That's just stupid lawyers on the inside giving their clients documents that they weren't supposed to. And once again, the remedy and relief in this, because it's habeas, is we want release. And we want to remove certain capacities, characters, conditions, status, and standing, such as acceptor, accommodating party, guarantor, surety, debtor, trustee, or any other term of art describing or demonstrating the same. Because these are also, depending upon the angle they're using against you at that moment, are things that they are assuming and presuming you are. That's the end of that document. Let's see here. I sent him some other documents, and I believe I sent them to you, Charles, just recently. It was another pack of five documents. I will go over those real quickly. I'm not sure if everybody has them, but they were sent out. The first one is a notice and demand of debatement. These are for people that are involved in a criminal matter, this document is specifically the criminal matter has just started, because at law, an abatement is the first motion to go in at law. And it is basically that there is a fatal error or flaw in the document, whether it be an indictment, an arrest warrant, a subpoena, whatever it is, we're going at the fatal errors and flaws in it, and it is the first thing filed before even a challenge of jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if too many people know of abatement. I know it's been around the Patriot community, but that's what it's for. You're dealing with fatal errors and flaws. Most of the time, it's that the document was served on you, but it has the straw man name, or that it was mailed to you, and that that is evidence of a misnomer or mistaken identity. Next, it is normally there is no seal or wedding signature on the document in your possession, which is a fatal error and flaw on a court document. Mm-hmm. If it does not have a raised court seal or the wet ink signature, it's a fatal flaw and error. And an abatement allows them to correct the document, to correct it. Mm-hmm. And if they can't correct it, it has to be dismissed with prejudice because of the fatal errors and flaws. So you're being honorable. You're saying, look, if you have a problem with me, name me properly, put the court seal on it, put the wet ink signature on it, and I'll be happy to address the issue.
Right on.
That's it. That's the initial right out the gate in a criminal matter. The next one is a presumption of law. This went around the web a little bit because there, I mean, really a lot of the times it is a trustee court that you're walking into, and so we're trying to make it very clear that these certain presumptions that the bar uses, and they've used them for hundreds of years, we're making sure that we are rebutting those in any and all ways possible. I believe there's, 12 of them there. Mm-hmm. I consider that a supporting document to something else that you would file at the time. The next one is when we receive the document, at the same time I abate the matter, I also like to send in this refusal. And this is the one that the Patriots have seemed to like because I use case law in it. I use it against them. And we're just rejecting their advances based upon their own words. Once again, we're using their code. Yes, refusal for cause. I think, what is the title? Yeah, refusal for cause.
Number one, first.
And that is, how many pages is this? I forget. It looks like eight. Yeah, eight here, because I put it in really small type, because I got sick of the courts, so I put it in really small type. If you expand it out, it's probably about 16, maybe 12, 16. But we're just saying, look, I'm refusing this until certain things have been answered. On the record, you're not just going to get us to come into court and continue forward. This one would need to be read by somebody. It's basis of a refusal is based in the ancient custom of a presentment being a financial document in nature, and we know that the courts are operating strictly in financial capacities at this point. They may be operating in military or whatever jurisdiction, but it's always money behind the scenes is the problem. And so we're refusing a presentment from someone until we ascertain exactly what it is. We just want to know what it is that you're presenting us with before we say anything. And this document has, I know personally of over 100 people that have filed it and never heard from the court again. And we're talking criminal charges, felonies, not misdemeanors, not traffic, not little stuff, actual felonies. Never heard from them again. Case disappeared it's not even there. You go look for it, it's not even there.
This looks very, very powerful, Ghost.
This is a good document. Patriots like this one. They don't like my other stuff because I tear apart their Constitution and other foundational documents. They like this one because I use it to the advantage. But it is using a lot of their case law. We're saying, well, if they're saying this, well, then how can you be doing this? And we're trying to play stupid. Is what we're doing. We're trying to play stupid. I don't understand this, so just explain it to me, but put it in writing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's before I come in and talk to you. It even says at the end, you know, if you cannot answer this, we won't be there, because this is obviously not directed at us then. So it's a very simple premise, but it is rather lengthy and puts forth a lot of questions and a lot of points that I think are very pertinent that most Patriots would understand and like. They really like this document. And with that, is two other documents. One's the certificate of authority, and that's the clerk saying that she's bound by her oath and that she's authorized by someone to make, receive, and issue jumbages and to demand payments or to collect payments, fines, or debts in something other than gold or silver coin.
What's the document you're on now?
That is refusal for cause certificate.
Okay.
Only send
gotcha.
With first refusal. Okay.
Okay.
Very simple.
And for
we're wanting them to admit that they're demanding something other than gold and silver coin.
Yeah.
Because it's in violation of their oath.
Yeah.
Of
yeah.
course, we've never had that signed and sent back, by the way.
Sure.
And the last one is the refusal for cause, only send with first, refused to all parties. Just some simple one-liners out of case law that I know the Patriots love. That's not what the actual cases were about, but it said something that I said, let's just throw it in there, who cares? So you can file this with it or you don't, but I think a lot of them would like it because it's a lot of the one-liners that most Patriots use. And it's in support of the document. Doesn't need to be filed, but it can be. And so those are different angles for someone that is not imprisoned but facing criminal matters of any kind. I don't care what kind of criminal matter it is, traffic all the way up to felonies. I don't care. Doesn't matter.
Uh-huh. And this is your third refusal for cause document, right?
Yes, yes. So those goes okay. as a packet. And normally those five documents I send all at once. I normally just hit them right out the gate. If I know someone's facing a criminal matter, I hit them right out of the gate with these. And then I would switch to the previous set of documents where I'm going to co-warrant to who are you, judge? Do you have the authority? A bill of specific performance? Are you complying with the contract you swore an oath to? But initially out the gate with criminal matters, I want those sent in right away.
Yeah.
And then the last document I sent to, I'm not sure if I sent it to you in the first batch or not, Charles, but I did send it to Shorty today. It was the Commission of Plenipotentiary, which is higher than a power of attorney. It's what kings used to give to someone to represent them elsewhere.
Oh.
So it's a very powerful document. And so I wanted to give that the opportunity in case you wanted to sign commissions with other people, in case someone got in trouble or you needed someone to act on your behalf, you have this document.
Is that like
I didn't receive that in your packet that you sent to me here most recently, Ghost.
Okay, then I will log in and I will send it to you. Like I said, it's same thing as a power of attorney, only it's basically making – it's what kings used to use. If you look at a lot of the treaties that the United States signed early on, they were always plenipotentiaries. Okay, so it's a very high level. It's much higher than a power of attorney. I mean, a power of attorney is garbage compared to this. And it allows them to act as if they were you. So I used it when I was imprisoned with Phil Hudock, who did the filing for me. The federal court hated it, but they can't interfere with a private contract. Remember, it's a private contract. They're not allowed to interfere with private contracts. So they, if you push the issue, they have to allow it. As long as both parties signed it, they have to allow it. And Shorty, I sent that to you,
you may have
like yesterday.
It because I don't remember seeing it in my database there, so try
okay.
to resend it when you send it to Charles, and then I'll have it.
I'm resending it right now to you, and I'll log in and find Charles here, and I'll send it to him. Now, like I said, you can give these away. You do whatever you want with them. I don't want any money for them. I don't want any credit for them. Okay? Don't mention my name with it. You do whatever you want with them. I also have a document, three questions to do with loans and foreclosures. If anybody is interested in that, I can pass that too, because I dealt with a lot of foreclosures and I found the three simple things that you ask that make most banks run. Shorty or Charles, are you interested in having that document as well?
Yes, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will send Charles, I'm going to go ahead and send you the commission as well. and that way you can post it as well. Now, is there any questions overall on these documents? I know probably some people haven't read them or gone over them, but is there anything on top of anybody's mind right now? And like I said, I'm not advocating, you know, this is just for educational purposes. I want people to learn and to think outside the box. I filed these 2 months before they kicked me out, and I was told by my friend overseas that they didn't want to address the issues, and so they told them to just get me out of prison, because that was the only remedy I asked for, was to be released. So they did, and that's good enough for me, because I wasn't seeking any money or compensation of any kind. The only thing I ask is that the addresses document that I sent you, I only sent it to Shorty and Charles to show you that I actually filed these documents, okay? I'm not bullshitting. I filed these. I got the certified mail numbers. I got the wedding signatures on them. I filed these documents, but I would prefer that if you were going to put out who you would recommend to serve these on, to just type up a list off that and not use that, so that my name's not out there.
Certainly.
But those were the ones that I served it on, and I wanted everybody to see that I did actually do it. I have the green cards back. I can prove all of it from front to back. I also filed additional documents that had to do with the OPPT foreclosure, where I was able to further claim everything from my birth in my own words. So there were some other filings with it.
You've been involved with the OPPT?
No. I just agreed. I just agreed with what she did. I don't agree with her galactics and all this other garbage she's talking now, but her actual filings and the way she did it, she used the system against itself, and it made me realize that, hey, I can go and claim that this is all from birth mine too. I can do it for myself. I have no problems with anything that she filed. Now, the new stuff that she's going through, I'm not advocating any of this stuff that she's doing since those filings. I only advocate the actual filing she did in 2011, 2012, and 2013. If you don't even want to attach to them, read them, because you will learn a lot from them.
What do you think about that whole Treasury Direct account thing?
Well, it's there, okay? It's there, and the Bill of Accounting is addressing that issue. It's there, but once again, you don't have legal title. You have equitable title.
Well, that's until we claim the – oh, I see, because the documents are not in our physical possession, right?
Correct. We don't have the actual documents. They hold the legal documents. We just hold, like, the Social Security card. We have – equitable benefits, beneficial use, basically. The titles haven't been merged. They're still the administrator, the executor, or the trustee, depending upon which angle they're dealing with that day. They're still the ones in charge of it, because they hold legal title. And we're trying to address that issue in a lawful manner.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're there. Trust me, they're there. You have accounts. There is monies in accounts that may or may not be referenced by your social. Okay? I've heard that they switched to a 20-digit number, but I haven't been able to find anyone that has access to that database yet to see if that's true. But I heard that they went to an international 20-digit number a few years ago. And that's why we just say anything that's associated, because at some point they're going to have to attach either the name or the social to that new number. Because with a Sescovy Trust, everything has to be kept separate. They can't commingle the stuff. Like, they can't take my stuff and your stuff and put it together. Everything has to be separated, so it has to have its own personal identifier. But that's what we're trying to address with the Bill of Accounting. That's what we're trying to address. I think the other thing is that pursuant to a House Joint Resolution, which isn't law, you'll have to look at I think it's 48 Statute 1112 or something like that. It was the actual law that was passed. You can only discharge. So I think that the Treasury Direct accounts, as they're calling them, is probably a discharge account, meaning everything's prepaid. which
yeah.
complies with the 1302 of Papal Bull saying the Pope has to take care of you. If the Pope has to take care of you, everything has to be prepaid by him. Okay, yeah. So I think it's prepaid, and I think a lot of people like Randall Bean got in trouble because he was trying to liquidate it to cash rather than a discharge of debt. And I think that's
yeah.
where he ran into the problem, is he was trying to, like most people are trying to put it into a checking account so they can go spend it, link it to eBay so they can spend it, when it's only really pursuant to their law for discharge of debt.
Yes, yes.
That would
that's
be my legal theory. That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah, and Hartford, I think, is a bit behind the curve on comprehending the discharge of debt thing, too. Yeah, it sounds like you're right on there, Ghost.
Yeah, that's the way the Jesuit friend tried to explain it to me, is like, look, you know, you guys screwed up when you started doing it the other way, because now you've made them go in and rewrite the code, and that's why all these reversals are coming. Is because you made them go back in and change it because you were trying to spend it rather than paying a debt.
Discharge
but
a debt, yeah.
Yes, yes. And most people, you know, they did the debts at first, like I pay my car note, my mortgage. But then they said, oh, well, if I pay that, well, then now I can go to eBay and buy something. And then you got the notice and they had to start reversing. And then they just said shut it down, basically. So someone went in there and rewrote the code, and that's why – it's just everything's being reversed at this point. They're just you spoiled the good times there, basically.
Well, if we had some leadership in our own community, we'd avoid those pitfalls.
Yes, and I think, like I said, the bill of accounting is the proper way to do that, to address the issue that Heather and them are facing now. Is did you have legal right to access it? Did you? You know, and at least you're making the claim for yourself, by yourself, on your own behalf and not someone else's, because I still think that the Pope can still claim you're incompetent if you're not doing it for yourself. You know, I think that's the key right now, is that we have to do it on our own behalf, not someone else's. It has to be on our own behalf. We have to stand up and say, hey, that's ours. That's us.
Well, what about cases of people in jail that are incapable? They don't have the resources to put it together.
Well, that's where they need us on the outside. When I was on the inside, I had to handwrite my stuff, and then I had to send it out to a friend, and he had to collect some donations and print off. I think my last filing was almost 200 handwritten pages. Okay. Oh. And I filed it in 9 places. By certified. So it was several hundred dollars. I mean, if they're inside, someone's going to have to give them a little help. You know, send them the doc, you know, pull out the name. You know, someone can send these in to someone in jail. They can sign them, send it back out. You can file them, you know.
And I think you made a real good argument for these situations, also pleading necessity, because when people are in jail, that requires extraordinary initiative, as opposed to when somebody is out of jail and they've got the resources to reasonably defend themselves.
Correct. And like I said, I do everything out of necessity, because I'm invoking necessity makes what may not be legal or lawful legal and lawful. Okay, so they may say that my filing in original jurisdiction and my saying this is a bill in equity is not lawful. When I invoke necessity, it makes it. Okay, so that's the reason I use that on that caption page, and that's a maxim of law. If you read the authorities document, you'll see the reasons why I do the way I do things is because of those maxims, and those maxims are based upon scriptural. I can find most of it in scripture. So once again, I'm trying to access the original jurisdiction, venue, and law form that we were granted at our birth at the beginning.
Sounds good.
So if there's no more questions here, I'll let everybody go. We've been on here for a little while. Like I said, I just wanted to offer a new angle for everyone to look at. Charles and Shorty, you guys have contact for me, so If someone doesn't understand what they may want to file, you can contact me. I'll let you know, and then I can look over it after they've completed it, before they filed it. But that's about the most that I can offer with my limited time at this point.
Well, we appreciate it, Ghost, and I'll be getting in touch with you tomorrow afternoon. Okay.
Okay. Yes, try to make that after one. I think I got something. I think I got a call at like 12:30, so it'd be like 1:30, 2 o'clock. That would be good. My time, Eastern time.
Okay, so if it's, then it's 3 o'clock my time. If it's 2 o'clock.
You're an hour behind, aren't you? So 12:30, 1 o'clock your time?
Oh, okay. That'll be great.
Yeah, if you could do that, that'd be fine. What other document did you want, Charles, besides the commission? Was there another document? I'm in the email right now.
I thought you mentioned something about foreclosures and discharge of debt.
Ah, there you go. Thank you for reminding me. Let me get that in there right now before I forget. Three simple questions. I always tell the banks when they want the money, I say, well, I bought these documents, and 48 times they ran. They don't seem to like these three. I had a friend take it to a bank president, and he said, I can't give you these. and of course, if you end up at court, this is what you demand in discovery.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple concept. And like I said, I go at the base, the foundation of an issue. I don't mess with the debt collection. I don't care about all that. That stuff means nothing if you're destroying the foundation. All right, so the commission and the loan I just sent to you, Charles.
All right, appreciate it.
And then, Charles, did you want me on there Friday about 7:30? And we'll go into the Papal Bull up through present day, give a brief overlay of the layer cake, and maybe then people can start to see the actual issues is why we're keep hitting these brick walls.
Yeah,
okay.
That would be good on the Friday conference call, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'll take 15, 20 minutes. We'll take a few questions, and if I need to come back another Friday, that's fine. But I just think people need to expand their knowledge base and to see that there are things bigger than what they think at play, and that's why things happen the way they happen.
Yeah, well, you're definitely providing valuable insight here, Ghost, and we all appreciate it, I'm sure.
No problem, no problem. I'm trying to get the word out before I just go ghost and just disappear into the night.
Well, as with us all, we're trying to do as best we can.
All right. So then I'll talk to you tomorrow, Shorty, and then I'll be on the call Friday, Charles.
Excellent.
Okay. All right, you guys have a good evening. Anything else from me?
That a bear?
Hello?
Okay. Yeah. Someone said hello.
Yes. First for Michigan, I'm a newcomer. How did you acquire all this information you have?
I read books.
Okay.
Old books.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Just a quick, this is a lot for me to digest of what you have and where you got all this stuff. And it's very, very, very interesting. And I think you already shipped the documents for other people to read, but I haven't read anything about what you've talked about tonight. So
definitely get a hold of Shorty or Charles. I think Charles has them posted, most of them right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you take a look at them. Like I said, if Shorty or Charles can get a hold of me, they can give you my email if you've got any questions or anything like that. This is all just I went and read books because I didn't like what was on the Internet. So I just went and got old law books and studied. And that's where it all came from.
Outstanding. Okay, thank you very much. I'd like to get with Louis Charles, but I can't contact him very much. Louis, are you there? You don't have a phone to contact you with.
Louis, that Charles is not on the program.
Oh, okay. It's a different Charles. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Wrong guy. Thanks.
All right. Well, you guys have a good evening.
Yes. Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Randall, are you on? Randall? Is Randall on? Is Jonas on?
I think he is. There's a Southern Illinois on here, but he's muted.
Shorty, are you there?
Yeah.
Shorty, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. It's pretty.
Can you hear me?
What Charlie is he sending this to? Who can I?
Can you hear me?
Well, you can get it from me and.
Yeah,
just
Jonas.
Get with me tomorrow, and I'll try to find a way of getting those documents to you. You can get them from Andrew.
Okay.
They're on
our
web
page. On the program? Is Andrew here or no?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I'm on.
Okay.
I don't have those.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't have those documents yet.
Okay.
The documents are on our web page.
Oh, okay. I'll get those.
I can forward them to
Andrew.
Our
web page.
This ought to be a whole different way to present issues as to relating to the court with deaf ears. Let me tell you, this ought to be outstanding.
It is.
It's good. It's powerful, no doubt.
Well, anyway, I'll have Marvin to email those to Andrew, and then Andrew and Marvin send them to you. Okay, Fritz?
Sounds good. Thank you. No, I would like to sit down and actually study this with somebody, because I don't think I'm as sharp as a lot of other people are. I would like to see directly what it means, how we apply it.
Well, hopefully before tomorrow evening, you should have these documents in your hand, okay?
Okay. Are we going to go over any of this on a different talk show conference call? Are we going to go over the documents and see how they apply?
I don't know yet. I don't know yet.
Good enough. Okay.
All righty.
I'd like to say that on our constitutionalgov.us webpage, I've got all of these files posted, and in the chat window related to our conference here, I've posted the web link to those files twice. So people that have access to the TalkShoe conference can chat window can grab the link right from there. Or if you go to constitutionalgov.us and click on the archives link, then there's a subdirectory called Thomas Deegan Files where they're at, and that's where the files are at.
Okay. Thanks, Charles.
Yeah.
Jonas?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Well, when you get a moment here, we're getting ready to close down, but give me a jingle, okay?
All right, and Randall and Jacob are on that same line here. We're all together with them on and off here. So.
Okay, well, give me just a few minutes, and I'll call you, and then we'll be all together, okay?
All righty. I'm on my way home from work yet, so I'm on the road.
Okay, I'll talk to you in a little bit.
All righty.
Okay,
thanks. Yeah.
Shorty, I'll get with you later, right? I'll call you tomorrow, okay?
Yeah, you can call me tomorrow, but I got everything in the works, you know. Marvin's going to send them to Andrew. Andrew's going to send them to you.
Okay. That's good enough. I'd just like to get together with you and talk about all this stuff and go over it as to what's applicable and all that other stuff. Because I am lost.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
I want to say good night. I'll let you go, and I'll catch up with you later tomorrow.
All right. Well, this has been the Seeking Justice Resource Community program, and we've reached our time, and so we hope that people will come back next week.
All right. And Marvin, are you still on?
Yes, sir.
If you can send me that document on them three questions, I'd like to know what he's talking about, them three questions on that. That you ask for a banker for your foreclosure or your whatever on that stuff.
Yeah, I'll try to send that whole. He sent me a whole list of them. I'll try to.
No, this is a different document.
Because I'm wondering if they're the same thing that I already do have, or if these are totally different, or what they are.
They're probably different.
I'm guessing they probably are. The ones I got are 5 questions.
Yep.
And I asked the banker, he turned and went to the bank, or turned and walked away from me. He didn't want to argue no longer.
Yeah. So. Well, that's good. Well, Marvin, get ready to shut us down, and I'll be in touch with everyone.
Okay. All right.
Probably going to have to log back in there, Marvin. Looks like they logged you out.
Yeah, I am on my way right now. I did myself.
All right. Yeah, if you don't shut it down proper, sometimes the recording goes on and there's nothing there.
Right. Right.
So this whole call is recorded, then we can listen to it again.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, it'll be a valuable recording to review. I'm planning on downloading it.
Because I was going through unsignaled areas and I lost a couple times there, and I lost some real interesting parts that I was pretty set on to listen to, and I didn't get them.
Yeah. If you play the recording off a talk show, usually in your web browser, you can save the whole page, and it'll automatically save it as an MP3 audio file that is real easy to play on your computer.
Yeah.
I couldn't log in tonight. I don't know what the problem was.
Hmm.
Did you push 1 pound afterwards, Jacob?
I did.
And it still didn't let you come on?
No.
Well, that's all I've done every time, and it always jumped me right back on by pushing 144. Here comes Shorty. I'm going to connect him with us. Hey, Gary, are you on?
Yeah. Is everyone here?
Yeah. Randy and, yeah, I think they're all here, yeah.
Well, good.
Are you still on, Marvin?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I don't know if you're still on or not.
Well, anyway, some paperwork has been done for Randall. And I sent everyone a copy, and I didn't have Randall's email. So if you could print a copy of what we got already where he can look at it, that'd be great, okay?
All right.
And then tomorrow I'm having a talk with Ghost, and I sent him a copy of what we've done already to see if he's got a new twist on it. And so tomorrow we're going to know some other specific stuff that we might be able to do. They had a couple more kegs of explosives to the case.
Cool.
I'd like to blow this thing way out of the water, you know?
There you go.
Hey, Shorty.
Yes.
How come they didn't have on file on today on my court what they did? He overruled our. So on the 23rd, there wasn't nothing on file on that.
Okay, well, we'll give him a couple of days to come up with that, because the paperwork that was in there was what?
Everything was in there from the 17th of October.
No, but what was new?
Do what?
What was new?
What was new?
Yeah.
Where they subpoenaed 3 people, Martha and 2 other people, to show up on the 13th.
Okay. And there was nothing else. There was nothing else, right?
No, it wasn't nothing what went on at court on the 23rd. Nothing.
Okay.
Well, we'll be able to. We got a couple more days to work on this here, and hopefully by this weekend, we should have everything in order for you.
But I don't understand why they didn't have nothing what went on in court.
Well, and I'm in the same boat unless they're planning on pulling some punches. Now, they can say, you know, try to discredit stuff, but then don't put that into the record. That doesn't mean it was officially discredited. And so we'll give them a couple more days to see what happens from there.
I've been in there. I went in there Friday, and went in there yesterday, and went in there today. And today the three things showed up on subpoena and on show up for court on.
Okay, so on the subpoena, who did the subpoena? Was it the prosecutor or was it her?
Hold on a second. Let's see.
Was it three individual subpoenas, or was it one subpoena with all three of their names on it?
Three individuals.
Okay.
Crystal Baylor, circuit clerk, the one that signed it.
Okay. Even though that these people are coming to testify to the statement that was put into the violation of this thing, doesn't mean that you did something criminal. But that's what they're going to try to make it unless we refute it.
Yeah. One of them was filed on August the 25th. One of them was filed August the 18th. I don't know why they're all not filed on the same date.
Well, because they come up with different times of acknowledging someone of importance, you know. That's what a subpoena is, you know.
You ought to feel lucky, Randy. You got somebody showing up at your party.
Yeah.
The wrong ones. Hey, Shorty,
Yes.
Did I understand right that he's got a thing like he could send out like for a power attorney for people to speak on your behalf?
I will bring that up in my conversation with him tomorrow. That's like a special master document.
And
it's the same thing.
I was wondering if that's when he was talking about. He said no, he used those, or they use those when they're in jail. I'm wondering if that's for if you're out of jail or if you're
well,
in jail.
Well, that'll be the question I'll bring up because I know it's kind of late for him tonight, and so we'll get into that there and we'll go from there. So I'll be making some communication with him sometime tomorrow, and tomorrow evening I'll have a feedback on it. You know, if need to be, I'll have Marvin open the mic up again for us, and then we can all just go there and we can do our business there. I didn't care too much for Donaldson being on the program tonight.
Well, he come back on a different phone number, and I muted him again. I don't know if I should have, but I did. He was trying to drag us away. He was dragging us away from what we was after.
That's right.
And I didn't appreciate that.
Yeah, he's rude.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know how he found out about the conference, Shorty. I didn't tell him.
Well, I know. He's monitoring it.
Yeah, well, probably the live chat and talk shoe. Maybe the live now notifications. Maybe we should turn those off so we can't see them or something.
Well, the thing of it is we had a leadership meeting on a Monday night, and he called in. And I said, so what's the occasion? He said, well, I just want to be a part of the community. And I said, well, that's fine. That's what Tuesday night is for. This is a leadership meeting. He goes, well, right, I'm a leadership here, you're a leadership there, you know, and all that there. I said, no, that's not what this is.
Yeah.
You know? And so he didn't understand, and so we ended up having to mute him, I think, is what the deal was. I don't remember exactly all the details of that day, but, you know, I put together a Monday night leadership meeting so we could all talk before we get on the program.
Yeah.
And so I've done decided that we need to mute him every time he comes on. I'm not interested in hearing him.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in hearing him at all.
Yeah, I don't blame you. He burns his bridges.
What did he do? You know, I mean, there was a lot of rhetoric that ended up in disagreeing with what he was saying or trying to add something to it. I just wanted to hear what Ghost had to say. You know what I mean? And allow him to have access to the documents and talk about it. And then if he had a question, you know, someone had a question, he always asked, do you have a question? Anyone got a question? Yada, yada, yada. And that being the case, and that's fine. But beyond that there, you know, just to speak out ain't about nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
We're on the same page with regard to Donaldson, Jordy.
Okay. All righty. Well, I've got another call to make. I got a guy in jail, so I got to figure out what's going on. I got to call out there in Colorado and see what's happening.
All right. Well, God be with you, brother.
Okay. Bye-bye.
You bye.
Right. Hey, Jonas. Jonas.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting tonight.
He's got a lot of good information on there that I felt pretty proud of because he's working on the right basis there, and when he was trying to figure out on that Constitution, on the United States Constitution, I was just about to blurb out tell him that is the 1776 Constitution I was talking about, but I didn't, and I figured he's going to jump on over into the 1789. Well, I waited and waited, and pretty soon there he come. He said he finally figured it out. It's 1776. I was like, yeah. I should have went ahead and blurted it out, answered his question. I'd have saved him the search.
Yeah.
Let's see.
On them three that they subpoenaed was Martha and the deputy that she called.
Nope.
And then, Kaisa's mom, the old drunk.
Oh, no, it's that old Kaisa's mom.
Yeah, old Nancy.
She'll be too drunk to know what she did.
She gets in there, I don't understand why you ain't got her in there because she's drunk 99% of the time.
Yeah.
Ready to give him some mama?
No, that's Kaisa's mom. But
still
getting to mama. Yeah. But old Kaisa's mom, I don't think she'll remember shit anyhow. He's doing that to stick up for Martha.
Probably her and Martha's buddies.
That deputy is probably bumping some juice and flesh there anyhow, so. he's about to win blood.
Yeah.
No,
but I thought that was a really interesting night, some of the stuff he come up with.
Well, the one that, not the controversy, No, I can't say the name of it, the document that he was talking about. I'd like to get that one. He said he's got over how many hundred of them that already have filed it, and every one of them blowed them clean off of the case. But that's on more on the very start of it, that you got to file in your facts and everything on that part to prove that it's a legitimate court document. It has to have the red ink and the court seal and who they're claiming for the party. And they can't come up with them until they come up with it. You give them an option to go ahead and correct their mistake because they don't have a red ink signature, they don't have the fancy seal, and they don't have a legitimate party. That's under their jurisdiction. So without them three, I don't know. I'm really curious what them three questions are for a banker if I don't have those already. But I'm probably sure I don't, because he's dealing a whole lot more under the Ecclesiastical law instead of under the statutes and the codes and the regulations and the rules and the common law that he doesn't deal with. He doesn't want to deal with that. He wants to stick more with the Ecclesiastical law or the natural law. And that's what he's...
I think I already went too far to start that out, though, haven't I?
Well, you've been to court. Yeah, they're already wanting to have a jury and everything, so... I don't know, but it's never too late to find out where the contract is at. Without a legitimate contract, they have no claim, and without a perfect claim, that you're not under their jurisdiction. It's all under presumption. They're only presuming that you are the party they're looking for to match the other party in the argument.
Yeah.
So the contract is never too late. If you don't have, if you all of a sudden, at the end, before the sentence, and even look up and say, oh, what was I thinking of? Where's the contract? Where's the wet signature signed on my contract? And where's my contract that I am even the party that you're looking for? Because I am a live American national, private inhabitant. And that's the same thing he was saying. Didn't use the same words, but that's the same thing. Am I live on sea, or am I, how did he say that? Oh, man, it's right at the edge of my tongue, and I can't get that word out that he said that he's challenging that he is on sea, or he's challenging that he is dead. What was the word that he used there?
I couldn't answer that one.
He's like challenging them. My heart, he just challenged them that he is see that he is dead, because that's what they're working with. They're working with the dead fiction agent on sea and a dead fiction. So by challenging them too, they're screwed already, because they don't have a legitimate contract. They're only going under the presumption.
Yeah.
I know there's another word for it, but my brain is not picking it up right now.
How come?
Huh?
How come?
You should have been with me for the last 2 days, I guess, all right? I've been going nuts, and come to find out that we'd built a whole shed, and where we built up against the house, and we forgot to put the bottom double seal on. I couldn't figure out why my fascia had an arch in it. I was putting the rest of the sub second floor joists in because it's all on a 22.5 built to the house. Wanted to put my stairways in and everything. When I went to build my wall, I realized that my ceiling height measurement was different. I couldn't figure out what the shit it was, and I happened to look over and look down in that front right corner to see that I only had one bottom plate instead of a double bottom plate on that one garage door.
Oh, my.
And in the corner, and that's why my whole house was tipped there, and I done had all my 22.5s and 45s and angles all tied to my house and everything with a big 2x2 and my gable wall with a 2'3" offset roof pitch. My wall built between the two roofs, so a real quick fix to put a jack underneath that side door, and I started jacking her up, and I cut the plates from the house roof to the new addition roof right on top of it. I went up and shimmed the rafters underneath my, or shimmed my rafters up from my wall plates from my 412 to my 612 pitch roofs, which was 3 feet apart. And took me about an hour, and we had everything flip-flopped. I had a little help from about three Adapta kids there that was helping me. Had them help me quick jerk my big 2x10 plates off and move my stairway up. So,
hey, I want this guy in my township. This is Donaldson here. What's the point of this conversation?
You talking to him? We're just chatting. He asked me why my brain was not thinking of a word that way I heard tonight. And then I got way carried off on another conversation.
Got it. You were ranting. That's what's called ranting. But that's okay. I mean,
yeah.
Everybody does it. So, you know, whatever. But, hey, man, good to hear your story, man. You're a construction worker?
I get into a little bit of everything.
That's awesome, man. Cool, man. Hey, we stick around because, you know, there's a lot of things to be discovered. There's a lot of knowledge out there. I'm learning new things every day. And I've been studying law 8 years, okay?
Cool.
Yeah,
that's good.
So.
That's
what I got. I'm still, I just left Menards. I'm on my way home. So that's where one, my memory wasn't picking up. I was still trying to think of that word. That is another word for challenging the contract or challenging the jurisdiction or challenging the presumption or whatever you want to get into. What was that? So
yeah,
I know there's somebody on the call that can answer that. What he was saying about on challenging that you're not dead, you're dead, or challenging that you're not on C when you go in court or something, or on your court documents.
I'm going to call.
Hey, is Charles still on the call?
Yeah.
I don't.
Hey, Donald.
Hey, Charles.
No,
I'm not even willing to talk about that. I already have a clear understanding of the law, and I don't need to discuss that issue.
And it looks like Marvin muted Donaldson there.
Yeah, we don't need no garbage.
He didn't want to answer that. Well, I was trying to. I still can't think of it. Do you remember what it was, Marvin?
I'm gonna forward. He sent me personally sent me a whole bunch of documents. I'm gonna forward them to you.
Okay.
I haven't had a chance to read a quarter of them yet.
It's hard to read all of them, but hopefully my eyes land on the right ones.
But Charles did post them up on the web page tonight. If you could get that website, you can look them up too.
Okay. I'm going to answer another call here. Hang on, guys.
Okay.
I waited too long. They just hung up at home trying to call me and find out where it's at. I'm about 4 miles from home, so.
Yeah.
So, see me when I get back.
So, if you was on the computer. Yeah.
I wanted to mention to you that I got a rough draft of a model jury verdict for us to work on for Sam's case.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's on constitutionalgov.us, and there's a web link to it. I can post it in the chat window here, but it looks like you're not even in chat right now, so it probably wouldn't be any use. Do you know how to get the archive of the chat session from ChatGrabber?
I don't know nothing about that, Charles. I really don't.
Okay, well, I don't want to overload you, but there's ways of retrieving all the text that's in the chat window there, and frequently there's good notes therein, and it's not too complex to find the ChatGrabber thing, but to perhaps facilitate our ability to work together closely better, I don't know if you've got my phone number. You're welcome to call me anytime you want. But I'd like to be able to call you once in a while, too, if you feel like sharing your phone number with me.
Sure, sure. It's
593.
Yep, 6015.
6015. That's 812-593-6015.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I'll be probably sending out a conference invitation tonight, and that will have the link to Sam's model jury verdict rough draft that we've got here. And I can't help but some of the other cases that you're talking about here with Randy and others, these could all be preempted if we form our own juries and adjudicate these cases, because that's a remedy at law that is very seldom being used, and that's a weak point that our patriot community hasn't capitalized on. But if we start doing it, I think it's going to shut down a whole lot of these corrupted judicial rulings.
Yeah. I gotta do a little more research on that and learn more about it. I've got a good idea, but there are still things I don't know for sure.
All right. Well, slow and steady wins the race. What we'll progress here is what we can with what we got.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like seeking your own jury of peers?
Seeking what?
Is that like seeing your own jury appears?
Jury appears?
Yeah.
Yeah. That you're forming your own jury.
Yeah. That's what I meant. That's what I'm demanding. Like on my case, I'm demanding a jury hearing under my own jury appears.
Well, at that point, you're asking them to provide a jury for you. If we assemble our own jury, then you're not asking them for the privilege.
No, right. under my own jury of peers.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we can do that on these phone conferences.
Yeah, you can form your own jury right now, Jonas. You don't have to wait on the court.
Well, that's what we demand. We told the court we're going to make our own jury. We're demanding a jury hearing with our own peers, our own jury brought in.
And at that point, we're forming our own court. See, we've got the right to do that under common law and constitutional law. That's what the Sixth and Seventh Amendment's all about, is to decentralize that judicial power so that they can't monopolize the courts. justice is too important an issue to be monopolized by the civil government of the states or the nation. And they knew that when they framed the Constitution. So they insisted that in the Sixth Amendment and Seventh Amendment that it all be decentralized down to the people, where we got the right to form our own courts, which we do by forming our own juries. And then when we push the documents into their court records, that shuts them down.
Hey, by the way, you guys, this is Donaldson, and I totally support Charles and his approach. And so muting me doesn't do any good because I'm behind Charles 100%. So thanks a lot. And I mute. I yield.
Well, I'm not sure if Donaldson is a blessing or a curse sometimes. But, yeah, we'll persevere with what we got here. But yeah, I'll include web links to Sam's case and the jury trial verdict that we've got here in the outgoing email tonight to you here, Marvin.
Okay, that'll work. Jonas, you may want a copy of it. It may give you something to look at too.
Jonas, I'm not sure if I got your email address and stuff. Would you like to be on our email list?
Sure.
All right. You're in Michigan also, aren't you?
Illinois.
Illinois? Yes.
Yeah. Okay, I think I do got. I got your email, jdelagrange74 at email.
Yes, that's me.
Okay. I'll make sure that you're on the invitation list, so you'll get a copy of our conference invitation also here.
I'd like to affirm that I'm actually God is a blessing and Jesus is the blessing, not me, Donaldson. So I will never be a blessing to the group. Only Jesus' blood can be the blessing. And just wanted to let everybody know that I'm a full supporter of the blood of Jesus. All right, and that's a very powerful thing. Okay, that's a very valuable currency, his blood. And I know that you guys probably think maybe I need to earn some respect or whatever because I've been so antagonistic, right? But I took it upon myself to study the law the way the lawyer would think, okay? And I did that to help you guys and to help everybody in this community. And I know that I'm getting a lot of flack for it, but you know what? That's part of the territory. And I totally respect all of you guys here, and you guys are patriots, and you guys are scholars. And I honor you all. Okay? So thanks a lot.
I'm going to hang up here, Marvin.
Okay. All right, Charles. You have a good evening.
Yeah, you too. We'll be in touch. Good night, everybody.
Yeah, good night.
All right.
Good night.
Well,
why did Charles hang up, you guys? Why did Charles hang up?
I don't know. I'm just about home, and I'm about to hang up myself.
I'm about to hang up, too, because it's kind of a boring conversation, but you guys don't believe in me, and I don't know why, because I never fucked any one of you over.
Hey, Jonas?
Yeah.
We'll get together on a conference here. We'll just have a private call here one of these nights.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
I can't put up with the garbage.
Yeah.
You know, when that guy was talking, when Ghost was talking, he was being distracted, drug into a different direction, and this guy will do you the same thing.
Yeah.
Donald tries to pull you away from what we're after every time. He also does it on Charles's conference on evenings. You ever get on Charles' conference?
I have a couple times, but I don't regular, no.
He has a pretty good group of guys come on some nights, and very interesting, very, very knowledgeable.
Sweet. Yeah, I'd love to get on more of them. It seems like I got about four calls tonight. I was wanting to be on. A couple of them are recorded so I can go back and listen to them. But it's so hard to get on all of the calls.
Yes, it is.
But I'd love to get on a couple of them, and I'll keep switching back and forth a little bit from one to the next.
Right. I enjoyed the guy tonight. I don't know, was you on listening to him?
Yeah, I was, and I lost him about three times. And driving down the road, I lost him a couple of times. I had Randy and Jacob on the call with me, which they called into me to get hooked up, plugged into it. And every time I lost them, I'd lose everybody to lose them.
Oh, man.
So, and
don't them guys have the conference number?
They do, Marlon, but
it wouldn't allow me to log in.
Why not?
I don't know.
Huh. What was it doing?
I tried it five different times, and it just keep on saying talk shoes. Your passcode is not valid.
What was your number?
The 4447444.
Yeah,
no,
number.
Your number. Good.
The passcode number.
330. The what?
The password number. What number was he using?
144562.
530.
530. That was your enemy.
144. Yeah, that's where I made a mistake.
530.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, well, that guy was very interesting tonight, wasn't he?
Oh, man. I wanted to so try, but it's recorded so I can listen to it again, but it's hard to shop and other people. I had about 15 calls while I was on that call, and people kept on calling back, and finally I answered them, and then I tried to get them off, and it seemed like I just couldn't listen to the call very long. But, yeah, it was really interesting what I got to hear of it. I just didn't get to hear enough of it.
Yeah, and what I heard tonight, I think with some of the documents, if we go start filing these documents on Samuel's behalf.
Yeah. See ya.
I bet you ain't used to hearing that already.
No. Sorry, Martin, I was just climbing up, getting them on down the road.
The way it sounds, this guy's documents, we should be filing some of this stuff on behalf of Samuel and have him free pretty shortly, the way he talked.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. If the way he sounds, man, if I get a way to get that, which I'm sure Jordan and I'm probably will be able to get it to him, and he can tell us where things have went wrong or whatever, and put the right stuff in there to get this counteracted in a pretty short period of time.
I have his direct contact. He has sent me a lot of stuff, and I'm going to forward you just one document here this evening that he sent me. It's not one document. It is a bunch of stuff.
Like a 50-page document or 50 pages of different documents.
Yeah, there's I don't know how many. I don't know. I didn't start to count. There's a bunch.
Oh, and you send them to me. I print them off or something here.
Yeah, I want to do the same thing. Take this thing somewhere where I can get all this stuff printed off on hard copies.
There you go.
I want hard copies of it.
Oh, that's stuff. So, yeah, I tell you, that's a lot of kids wasn't so busy.
Yeah.
I can sit and listen all night on him. Yeah, Donaldson drug it way down the road off into a field into a swamp there for a little bit.
Well, that's when I finally decided it's time to shut him up. That's why you didn't hear him no more.
I started laughing. I muted myself. Started laughing because I thought, whoops, there he went.
Well, he went and he called in from another number, and he started in again, and I was watching that number, and when he started talking, I said, uh-oh, you ain't fooling this boy.
Did he come back on, what, four times tonight?
Yeah, and he got muted all four times. Well, the guy could maybe be a help, but he gets out on left field. He gets way away from what we're really what we're after. He'll just drag this thing. You'll get so far away from heading to first base. He'll have you headed backwards. He'll have you headed to the third base instead, or no base at all instead of going to first base where we was going to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's so overeducated that he don't even know his own self.
Yeah.
You know, or that's the way he feels. He thinks he's smarter than the rest of us on this call.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. He's smarter than I am, but he needs to shut up somebody and let the ones talking that are talking there talk about what we're talking about.
No, he wants to drag it away. He wants to take over the conversation. He wants everybody to be looking at him.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go on the conference every night and just listen to him talk that's blowing smoke.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things he talks about that he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Where's this ghost out of?
West Virginia.
West Virginia. I just about put
that
on it that I've talked to him before with Rob McQuarrie's out of Pennsylvania.
Yeah?
I think Rob McQuarrie's and Lou Watson have dealt with him.
Okay.
What part of West Virginia?
Oh, boy, I can't answer that. All I know is he's from West Virginia. He goes by the name Ghost, but I kind of know his name, but I'm not going to give it on this call because it's still being recorded.
Oh, this call's being recorded?
Yeah, I'm not directly hooked on to you, Jonas. I'm still in a conference.
Oh, okay. That's how he got on it. I was wondering how he got on my line or how he got hooked in, and I figured he called you and jumped back on here.
Oh, no.
I was wondering how he jumped over on here. Because I thought it was off of the conference call, or off of the recorded conference call.
Yeah, we're still hooked into that. Or if I hit that, I guess I'd be the only one off of it now. Be blocked off of it. So.
But we're not being recorded.
Well, I don't know. That I don't know.
Tell you, if you shut the recording off, the recording shut off, but the conference goes on.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I think it's shut off. I don't know.
I hope so.
Yeah?
But, no, I know that's the same thing with the other call, a couple other calls that were on whenever they shut the recording off, and then everybody goes on the conference. But as long as the judge or whoever's on there, they record everything up until he goes off, and then once he goes off, they shut the recordings off, so. All the jibber jabber isn't recorded.
Right.
And then
right. All right.
People teed off on recordings if they go to listen to the recordings and they listen to all this jazz on the back end of it. So,
well,
but I'll let everybody go for tonight, and I'm going to head for the house. It looks like the kids are all still up, so I'm going to go enjoy a little life with the family.
Yes, ma'am. All right, man.
Yeah.
You guys right, have a good evening.
Yep, same to y'all. Good night.
Yep. Yeah, good night.
Good night.
Yeah, good night, Jake.
Good night.